Welcome to 5 Minutes in Church History, hosted by Dr. Stephen Nichols, where we take a little break from the present to go exploring the past. Travel back in time as we look at the people, events, and even the places that have shaped the story of Christianity. This is our story, our family history. Let's get started.
Welcome back to another episode of 5 Minutes in Church History. On this episode, I have a very special guest. I have visiting with us Dr. Michael Krueger. He is the president of Reformed Theological Seminary in Charlotte, North Carolina. Dr. Krueger, welcome.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
Well, looking forward to having a good conversation with you about a very important topic. You've given a lot of attention and energy through your work on the topic of the canon.
Yes.
So let's talk about the canon. Now, let's get one thing straight. We're talking about canon with one N. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, canon, not C-A-N-N-O-N. That's blow up somebody. This is a standard or list or rule.
Okay, so we got that established. This is canon with one N. What do we need to know about the canon and the early church?
Well, there's a lot to say there, Steve. I think most people probably labor with a number of misconceptions about the canon. And so one of the things I try to labor for is helping people undo those misconceptions. Probably the largest misconception out there is this idea that canon is a late imposition on books written for another purpose. In other words, people think that these books were written with no intention of being authoritative documents. They are written sort of as occasional texts that only later, centuries later, Christians began to realize, wow, these are really great books, and maybe we should consider these scripture, and tell you what, let's have a canon and put these in it, something like that. And So the first thing I think people need to understand is that these books were not written just as occasional texts, that Paul, for example, as an apostle, wrote with conscious authority. Even in the first century, he understood himself to be writing books to govern and guide the church. And this was an important thing that I think people miss.
We find Peter saying, the writings of Paul,
there's
things that I always find this helpful, that I get stumped by Paul sometimes. It's helpful to know, well, Peter is stumped by Paul, and he'll say there are difficult things in Paul as are with the rest or the other scriptures.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and that shows you that even in the first century, on that text, somewhere in the 60s, people were already viewing apostolic books as scriptural books. And so you didn't have to wait for the third or fourth century for there to be this idea that you ought to have books that are regarded as scripture in the New Testament.
Now, as we look at the essence of the New Testament, we see a general consensus around the Gospels. We see a general consensus around Paul. There were some little sort of fuzzy boundaries there in some of those early centuries. What were some of the issues that were going on?
Yeah, what I like to help people understand is that by the early second century or middle second century, there was really a wide and unified consensus on what we might call the core of the New Testament canon. The core of the New Testament canon would include things like the four Gospels, Acts, Paul's 13 letters, books like 1 Peter, 1 John, Revelation, and so on. So about 22 out of the 27 would have been pretty well established. What that means then is that the books that were under discussion, if you will, and maybe a little bit more disagreement about them, were the small ones. So this would have been books like 2 Peter, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, James, books like that.
Was Philemon ever an issue?
Philemon wasn't really ever an issue. Philemon was just not talked about very much, and often just no one mentioned it. And so, for example, in Irenaeus, a second century church father, he mentions all of Paul's letters but Philemon. That doesn't mean he rejects Philemon. It just means that it's such a little book, you can imagine he may not get around to say much about it. And I imagine that's still true in the modern day.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, when was the last time I heard a good sermon on Philemon?
It's probably been a while. Yeah.
Then there were other books that we do not have in our 27 book list of the New Testament.
Yeah.
So what were some of those?
Century, there's other books in circulation that people sometimes used that they were kind of hanging on the edges. An example of this is a book like The Shepherd of Hermas, which was a popular book in early Christianity, or a book like First Clement, which was a letter that some valued. And then you have what we call apocryphal gospels, gospels outside the canon that would be like the Gospel of Thomas or the Gospel of Peter, that we know people now and then read them, but they never really had much popularity and never really were true contenders for the canon.
In fact, we find some very early church fathers outright rejecting these gospels as false gospels.
Yeah, despite the claims of many modern scholars that these were popular and widely received, the fact of the matter is that when they were mentioned, which isn't very often, they were condemned quite directly. And so there was never a chance, really, that they were ever in the canon.
Well, Dr. Krueger, thank you for being with us. I've been enjoying our conversation. Maybe we'll have to have another conversation about the canon with two N's sometimes. That could be just as explosive.
That'd be
fun. Well, thanks for joining us. I'm Steve Nichols. Thanks for joining us for 5 Minutes in Church History.
For more information or to listen to past episodes, please visit 5minutesinchurchhistory.com.